How many people? Count it up. How many got less than 12? Raise your hand, 12 or less. How many have more than 12? How many got more than 20? How many got more than 15? So 90% of you in this room, it's 12 or less. 95% of you, it's 12 or less. How many have less than 8? Less than 7? Less than 6? Less than 5? Less than 4? Less than 3? Less than 2? Less than 1? Now here's the point. Years and years ago, there's a guy named Milner who came up with what he called the power of 7. Some of you know from my own work, we talk sometimes about the idea of chunking, that most people chunk things as 1, 2, 3, many. The maximum number of chunks that most people can hang on to at one time is 7 chunks. The first time you drove a stick shift car, you may have been overwhelmed because it was so many chunks for you. I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to put my foot here, watch there, drive here, watch the rear, all that simultaneously is too many chunks. For most of you driving a stick shift car now is how many chunks? 1 chunk. You've learned to re-chunk it. You've learned to reintegrate it. So this is known as channel capacity. If we were to make a series of tones, sounds in this room, the majority of you, the most you could make a distinguish between is 6 to 7 tones. Now, some people are very harmonic here, are very auditory, and some of you can make very refined distinctions in the auditory area. Maybe you can do 15 or 18, but that's because you chunk differently. Most people emotionally, I never realized this, but for years, you know, I've asked people to do that exercise I created years ago. I have you write down a list of all the emotions you experience at least once a week. Remember that? Positive, negative. I say write down all the ones you experience at least once a week. All the ones negative. Whenever I do it, anywhere I do it in the world, I've done it for 15, 18 years. I've probably done that exercise no matter where I go. Anybody know what the magic number is? Almost always less than 12. But guess how many of each? 6 usually or less. Think about your own list. 98% of the time, it's 6 motions. Maybe they got 7 or 8, but it's right in that range. It's known as 7 ± 2 because the maximum for most people, 9, and the minimum for most people is usually 5. So I've seen this forever. That's because we have an emotional channel capacity. There's only so many emotions that we can generate. Relationships, do they demand emotion, yes or no? Remember we talked about earlier, how many people can you really deeply care for? Well, the more you care for them and the more deeply you care for them, the number actually shrinks because if you're going to continually do that, it absorbs energy and nerve energy for you. So there's very few people that you can really care for. Now, what creates a community is people knowing each other enough that there's a consequence for a relationship. Maybe you don't care ultimately if they die, wouldn't crush you, but you care enough about them and know enough about them. Here's what they found about the neocortex of animals. All animals' neocortex is mathematically designed by size to be able to take on a certain complexity of number of relationships. It's true of every animal, and for human beings, guess what the number is? To be able to have a relationship where there's consequence for you amongst those people. The number is 147.8, or rounded, it's known as the rule of 150. Now, what's interesting is, throughout the history of tribes, and the man who did the research on this and actually found this, shows historically for thousands of years where tribes start to break up. If you study wars, you know the best fighting group, the maximum size even today, where they actually know each other, is 200. You might have battalions and groups larger and larger, but they're held together by rules and regulations and consequences. But to actually care for your fellow man, like he lives or dies and you're willing to risk your life for him and you know who he is, it's within a group of 150. Even today with technology, communication, it's no larger than 150. Now, there are religious groups that didn't learn this from social psychologists. They've been doing this for thousands of years. And I gave you some of the examples here where they have a rule of 150, and at 150 for thousands of years, they break up. And the reason is, once you get above 150, it's not a unified group anymore. They start to break into their own groups, and you can't keep order by relationship. It has to be by consequence, by rules, by other elements. And so they split at those numbers. You might say, well, what does this matter? What does it matter to me? I'll tell you how it matters to business. This group is small enough that everybody here can know everybody else if they choose to. And there's a certain amount of consequence for each of us of what occurs. When it gets above 150, it changes. And I've seen it in every business I've ever had. How many know what the company Gore-Tex is? You know, familiar with Gore-Tex? Gore-Tex is one of the most successful companies in the world. It is always rated as one of the top companies to work with. It has the longest retention of employees of anybody in their entire industry, by 2/3 longer than anybody in the industry. But here's the best thing. They've had 37 consecutive years of increasing profitability. 37 consecutive years of increased profitability. Bob Gore, I think his name was, I forget his first name, who started Gore-Tex, created the law of 150. He just stumbled across it. He never read it. He didn't do it from a religious thing. He just noticed that when groups got bigger than 150, it is a multi-billion dollar company with tens of thousands of employees, but you can't go to any factory, any portion of it's larger than 150. And the reason when you interview people there is they describe that everybody knows everybody else. And there is an impact of peer pressure because everybody knows that what they're doing affects everybody else there. So for example, as they've grown, and let's say they've gone, Gore-Tex has many departments. One makes materials for uniforms, another one does stuff for climbing, another one does things for fashion. There's all kinds of, some things do things that are actually in the manufacture of hard goods. What they've done is, for example, when the factory got more than 150 people, they spread it out and the uniform factory became one and the other one's fashion became another. So the salespeople and the manufacturing people and the buying people all know each other. They know each other personally. They interact with each other continuously. And so the relationship is not these isolated silos that happen in most companies that make those companies have to have so many levels of management. They have one level of management in all the entire company. Everybody influences everybody else in those areas. So there's a lot more depth on this piece, but one of the things I'm doing even in my own companies is I'm breaking some of them up. I'm now bringing, you've all heard about companies that, you know, come together and you bring four or five companies together and then they become, on paper, they look like any better and they become worse. I've seen this happen before. Because once you get above 150, there becomes a culture shift. That doesn't mean you can't have 10,000 people. It just means that within 10,000 people, there needs to be some form of unique identity. And I've done this for years. I used to do Date with Destiny, and the maximum size I felt I could do was 65 people. And it was. When I went bigger than 65, it was tough. When I got above 150, it was out of control. And I shrunk Date with Destiny back to a smaller group, and I limited it to 125 for years. Then one day I changed it. You know, I changed it. I created something called Teams, and I do it to this day. And now I have several thousand people Date with Destiny giving the same quality. Teams, and the teams, when they get to like 50, they're great. When you get to any larger than that, it's more difficult. 150, nobody knows any because there's not time. If it was a daily thing, you could be larger. When they're usually in the range of 35, they're ideal. And guess what happens? In a room of several thousand people, I create a little inner community. And then I have a trainer or a coach there so that within that group of people, there can still be a feeling of connectedness and consequence. And through that consequence, people have a personal experience and they compete against the other teams, and yet we're all one big seminar, aren't we? How many have experienced this in events that you've gone to? I just did this unconsciously because I just realized as it got bigger, people couldn't be by themselves. I couldn't just have the whole room stay as one group the whole time and get the same level of depth of impact that I wanted to have. So it's not like you can't be as big as you want to be. It just means within the size, you need to build cultures. When they built Gore-Tex, they have the law of 150 and they know how they're going to build. They build 150 spaces in the parking lot and that's it. There can be a Gore-Tex factory across the street. But walking across the street is like living three blocks from the beach. That little difference in convenience makes them individual cultures, believe it or not. And they operate accordingly. So I apologize for the hours because I've never taught this before, but to me, this is just mind-blowing value because what I've done is I've looked at every one of these pieces of what I've given you here, and I've come up with three or four things to test immediately within the enterprises, businesses, and messages that I'm delivering, and I'm asking you and inviting you to do the same.